Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Katie Marie. That song now is celebrating a decade. And I think I might have heard it the first time not long after it was written. I think it's been about that long. And it is not only standing the test of time, it will continue to do so. Thank you very much. And thank you for the God in you that produces the beautiful creative gift that you give to all of us. Thank you. Before I begin the talk this morning, I'd like to make a special announcement and a congratulations to Reverend Maggie Alderman, who has been a part of our community for a long time and served her internship at Unity of New Braunfels and graduated last June and was ordained as a Unity minister. She has applied and been accepted as the minister of Unity of Orlando, Florida. And so we congratulate Maggie on this accomplishment. We know that she will find great joy and great fulfillment as she moves into this expression of her vocation, her call to ministry. We know that the people of Orlando will be blessed by having her with them. And we know that these first beginnings in ministry and in going to a new ministry are very sweet, fragile, precious times. And so we surround her with inspiration, with strength, with joy, and with hope as she moves into this next part of her life. Congratulations, Maggie. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We behold the Christ in you, and we can't wait for Unity of Orlando to behold the Christ in you all the time. Friends, this morning I'd like to talk to you about faith and love as spiritual gifts that are already built into us. We have good precedent for knowing these things because Scripture backs it up. Jesus taught about it. Paul taught about it. Unknown writers taught about it, about both of them, faith and love. So probably the most familiar one to you is from 1 Corinthians 13. And I never get tired of saying this piece of scripture when I'm doing a wedding, officiating at a wedding. And the last part of 1 Corinthians 13 is, "And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." So in that scripture, faith, hope, and love are bundled together. And as I was thinking about this week, it occurred to me that if we have faith and love, which is already given to us, the outpicturing of faith and love together is hope. It gives us a grounded place for which to have hope without magical thinking, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Too many times hope becomes, "Oh, please let this happen." When in fact, hope is the product of us knowing that everything is in divine order. That's a huge part of our faith. Of knowing that love is expressing in and through us and that we see love in other people. That formula together gives us hope. It's what takes us through times when our faith falters, but it's still there. We just are not aware of it as consciously as we are at other times. It's what gives us the ability to continue to love human beings no matter what. And so out of that faith in ourselves, in humanity, out of love for ourselves and for humanity, springs forth hope. That's a beautiful gift because that gives us something other than a Pollyanna-ish idea about the world around us. if we are engaging in this magical thinking that if we just have enough faith, this will occur. If we just have enough love, this person will change. If you've got somebody in your life that you're trying to change, and you think that if you love them hard enough, they will change, let me tell you, my friend, you're headed down the wrong path. Because this is a path that is fraught with disappointment, and it is not the best use of the love and faith that live in you. We have come through a time in our country in which we have seen division. We have seen violence. We have seen neighbor against neighbor. And Jesus himself warned us that there would be times like this. And that what we cling to is God in the midst of everything. What we cling to is our faith, not only in God, but knowing that God has faith in us. I want you to think about that for just a moment. I'm teaching from a book called Practical Metaphysics right now by Eric Butterworth. And he manages to nail down these ideas about faith and love so perfectly that I'm going to share some of those with you. It would be foolish for me to rely upon my own inspiration all the time. What always sparks my creativity and my inspiration is scripture, is writings from other people who've been doing this for a while, from people who have a different take on how we can walk through life and be fulfilled. And so I'm always happy to borrow from other teachers because we recognize the truth in that resonates with the truth in us. Don't you find it a beautiful thing when you're reading or listening to someone and you go, yes, yes, that's true. I believe that. That works for me. And it's because you've already identified it within you as a truth. And it's springing forth to say, yes, yes, I recognize this. Because the truth is the truth is the truth. No matter who's teaching it, no matter who's saying it, no matter who's writing it, no matter when they lived. That's why we enjoy reading and studying the teachings of all the great teachers that have lived throughout all faith, throughout all religious practices. There are so many good elements of truth for us because it doesn't matter who it comes from. If it's the Buddha, if it's from the Upanishads, the Vedas, If it's from a Baptist minister. One of my favorite teachers is Bishop John Shelby Spong, an Episcopalian minister who has blasted apart some of the ideas about Jesus and about Scripture and about truth that have become crystallized and needed to be reframed. And so he's a bit of a rebel, or he has been a bit of a rebel in the Episcopalian church, and everybody loves him because he speaks truth. So I want to share with you this morning just some ideas that might spark this, because what we want to do is make sure that faith and love are activated in us, not only to attract those things into our lives that fulfill us, but that we may spring forth to be fulfilled in that as well. So let me just speak to you for a moment out of the book of Hebrews. And we are not sure who wrote this piece of scripture, but this is from Hebrews 11. This has been attributed to Paul, but probably not. It was probably one of his students. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. That is the whole basis of the metaphysical teachings in unity. What is the truth beneath the form? What is the idea that precedes manifestation? And that's exactly what's in the first part of Hebrews. And rather than trying to define what faith is, the rest of this chapter takes us all the way from, all the way from Cain and Abel, through Noah, through Abraham, through everybody. And it shows how their faith was demonstrated. So rather than trying to define faith here in the scripture, it says, let me show you what it looks like. This is a great chapter if you want a chapter in the Bible, but you don't like the Bible so much, or you're scared of the Bible. Hebrews 11 will not scare you. Hebrews 11 is a good chapter to just read a good story. So jot that down, and I'll be checking in with you to see how you're doing on your Bible reading. It is said that it is God in whom we live, move, and have our being. So Eric Butterworth was the one who said, I wish it was my original words, but he said, it's not about us believing in God. It's about God believing in us, because we're already created as faithful, loving people. If anything, believe in the God in here, not out there, something distant from us. And practice the presence of God, not practice the absence of God. So when you get into anything that's like, woe is me, you are practicing the absence of God. Think about that. Think about that the next time you get really impatient with someone or angry with someone. You say, I wonder if I'm practicing the presence of God or the absence of God right now. Yes, that would be the absence of God. I kind of like using that phrase because it's not judgmental toward ourselves. We do that really well. We judge ourselves really, really well. But this kind of removes it a little bit. Oh, yeah, I'm practicing the absence of God right now. I think I'll try practicing the presence of God. Better yet, rather than having faith in God, think about having faith from God as a gift. And just that change in words makes a difference. From faith in God to faith from God. Practice the idea that God is right here, right now, in me. And of course, we know that God is everywhere. God is transcendent to the farthest reaches of the universe that we can't comprehend, over time and space that we have too small a brain to be able to encompass. There's that transcendent God, and then there is the immanent God, the God in us that is as near and as alive as our breath, as near and as alive as the blood that moves through our bodies. So we tend to think that if we have enough faith, then miracles will happen. And you know, the truth is, And I talked about this in our Wednesday night class this week. God doesn't care, really, who becomes our sweetie. God doesn't care what kind of car we get. Believe me, if you get a car different than the one you originally wanted, it's not because God was messing with your plans. God doesn't do that. So when we see something that we call a miracle, it's because we're sometimes not used to seeing the perfect outworking of God. We're not used to seeing things line up the way we are surprised by or delighted by or blessed by. But as we begin to practice that faith, of God in us already, we begin to see things differently. Our perception begins to change. And we begin to live up to our full potential. There was a time when the human potential movement was very popular. It was a shift to move people out of thinking less of themselves than they really are. And the human potential movement sometimes was to get people just thinking, to bring them into a state of conscious awareness. And that was perfect for a time. But we cannot slap a plaster of faith on our issues in our lives and expect it to get solved. We have to live through it. And I'm making a very subtle distinction here. It's about seeing that God is in everything, no matter how it looks. It's like Kit prayed today. There is no place that God isn't, and there is nothing that isn't God, and everything of God is good. And our perceptions will lead us through trials and tribulations and disappointments and our faltering steps and our mistakes. Because we are ultimately designed to be the fulfillment of the God potential in each one of us. The God potential, not just the human potential, the God potential. It expresses out through our humanness. Henry David Thoreau said, "Live with the license of the highest order of beings." Think about that for a moment. Live with the license of the highest order of beings. And so as you move through your life, elevate yourself, not in an egotistical way, but in knowing that you have always been and will always be a child of the divine, a divine creation. So in Scripture, in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." Not the other way around. Start gathering up all this stuff, and then you're going to be righteous. He was saying, and this was a key element of his teaching, it's not just about the good that you do. It's the place from which you do it. It's not as much about doing as it is about being. You know, when Jesus started out, he was teaching the Jewish people that had a whole set of laws to follow. And you've heard me say this before, they had gotten good at following the laws. But they had lost the reason that the laws were created in the first place. They needed a refresh. They needed updating. They needed spiritual life 2.0. The Jesus version. That was kind of funny, wasn't it? Okay. I just made that up, so. There's an American poet named Eddie Guest who said, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Mm-hmm. It's why we like to scroll sometimes through the news so that we can see what's going on in the world and be that observer self that observes how we're reacting to what we read. You know, that observer self of you is your God self. Your self-self, your human self, your most basic self is the one out there reacting and opinionating and judging, feeling sorry for oneself, and blah, blah, blah. You know, the stuff we do as human beings, it's the human condition. But there's another part of us that can observe what we're doing, and that's our eternal spiritual self, our highest self, And so, what we're about is looking at the world, seeing it truly, but also changing our perception of it. If you see something in the news that upsets you, lay a prayer on it. Just say to yourself, God is in this, even in this right now. God is in this. Divine fulfillment is at hand. We get impatient because we want results right now. We want gratification right now. We want everything to be fulfilled right now. And faith is the part that lets God have God's own timing while we hold the space for it. Let me move on into the idea of love, or else I'm going to run out of time here. There's so much I could say about faith. Read Hebrews 11. See how people walked into the unknown with faith because they lived with God right here. So I want to ask you if you're familiar with the term divine discontent. Divine discontent is usually our longing for love. It's our longing for God. It's our longing to express more of God, to see more of God. So when Jesus said, love others as you love yourself, it's not so much, again, a doing as it is a being. He talks in this chapter about the eyes being a fountain, and especially in the days of masks like we're in right now, our eyes have to do a lot of the work. Have you noticed that you can tell when people are smiling by looking at their eyes? Isn't it interesting that our perception, our vision has changed? So that we're looking into the eyes of people to read them. And that's the only thing we've got. And we can pour out our love through our eyes without saying a word to another human being. Try practicing that. Try practicing pouring out the love that lives in you toward other people. I was on my way home the other day from my eye doctor's appointment. My eyes were dilated, so I was squinting all the way home because I went to the eye doctor on the sunniest day we've had this week. And it was in way north Austin. I was driving back to way southwest Austin, and so it didn't feel very good. And to turn onto the road that leads to my house, there's a feeder lane so that you can just go ahead and just go around the corner without having to yield to anybody. And there was a dump truck. I don't like dump trucks much. It's just a thing I have. All those gears make me mad. I can't explain that to you. It's probably because I have a tendency to sprint with my car. I'm like out of the gate and I go. And dump trucks don't do that. They do first gear, second gear, 12th gear, 13th gear. So not only was this a slow dump truck, he totally stopped in the feeder lane. And there were like two cars in between us, so I just honked. Nothing happened, so I honked again. And I was hoping that the person in front of me would understand I wasn't honking at them. I was honking at the dump truck. He probably couldn't hear me because he's so loud, because dump trucks are loud. And I found myself not having loving thoughts toward that dump truck driver. Isn't that silly? I'm admitting this little piece of my humanity to you, and it's kind of embarrassing. I would like to think that I can be loving and peaceful with dump trucks and their drivers. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. So I'm extending an apology to the universe and letting it lay itself upon the dump truck at which I honked. May he move along the next time. See, I did it. I did it. I did it again. So I have hope, faith, and love that my next drive home will be a little smoother. Knowing that probably I'm going to have drivers that irritate me until I get over it. And I use that because we've all got something that irritates us. We've all got something that just... And this is where we start to practice. Because if we can work on the little things that we can laugh about, then the bigger things get a little bit easier. It becomes a little bit lighter for us when we run up against those boulders of life that stand in our way. So it's not just loving people as a band-aid or a plaster or a platitude. It is living the love that comes to potential from us in only the way that we can do it. Only the way that we can do it. The way my love expresses is going to be different than the way your love expresses, because you have a perfect fulfillment of love coming through you that only you can do. And I love what's in this chapter about that. We identify with stories of great faith, and we identify with stories of expressions of love and generosity and genuineness. We identify with those because that's who we are too. But we can't expect ourselves to do that thing that somebody else does unless it is our particular journey. And that's a very important distinction. It requires us to know that we are a unique and precious creation. And we can only be who we are to come to divine fulfillment in this life. With the love that was planted in us, with the faith that was planted in us. I hope that distinction is clear to you. Because there is no room in this for a lot of self-judgment. There's no room in this for low self-esteem. That is such an egoic thing. We are so much bigger than our low self-esteem. We are so much bigger than not feeling worthy. We're so much bigger than comparing ourselves to other people to see if we're good enough. We're bigger than that. Every single one of us. I have in my line of sight, I lost count. Let's see, 5, 3, that'd be 8. Just our 8 people that are here right now, every single one, a unique and divine expression. Every single one coming into their unique potential because love lives there. Faith lives there. Meister Eckhart said, "Let God be God in you. Let love be love at the root of your being." You see, love is a magnetic force, and so is faith. Faith draws to us that which fulfills our divine destiny. And love, and this used to make me so angry when somebody would say, "Oh, you want more love in your life? Then you need to be more loving toward everyone." So, yeah, but I want my honey right now. Be love. Be love and have faith that what you need for your fulfillment is exactly coming your way. We're instructed to love our enemies, not because they deserve it, but because we deserve it. We deserve not to live with judgment, hatred, anything less than compassion, even if it has to be a compassion at a distance. We deserve to love our enemies. I love that idea. So Eric Butterworth slams all those doors of excuses that we have. How can I love so-and-so when they do this and this? And the other thing that gets us is when we say, why did this happen to me? Why did they do that to me? That to me, he says it's like a fish hook. And it snags us, and we just follow that line of victimhood right into our own misery. It's more like, this happened. What shall I do with it? How shall I see love and be love? How shall I see with righteous judgment, not egoic judgment, righteous judgment? That may mean that we step away from people that are toxic or damaging to us, but we do it with a sense of love out of ourselves, not stomping away with our toys and saying, I'm not going to play with you anymore. We just step away and say, my divine fulfillment does not include this. I'm a perfect child of God. And that's what I want to live. And nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul in knowing that. So here we are, almost through. We've got one more week in this first month of this new year. And beloved, it's important for us to have faith and love as we move forward, because 2021 looks like it's going to have more of the same as 2020. It's really, really important that we begin to build up and hang on to and be aware of those gifts that live in us, built into our DNA, with us before we came into being in this earth. It's important for us to strengthen and bolster that knowledge. Next week, we'll be talking about prayer and demonstration. And we're going to use those gifts, and we're going to see how we can be a gift to the world. We're going to see how we will walk through the world. I got to tell you before I go that what I've noticed in the time that we've been apart is that people have been very willing to reach out for help and say, I'm going through a challenge. Will you pray with me? And then what happens is this beautiful outpouring of affirmative, compassionate, caring prayer from so many people. The response from people to people in this spiritual community is beautiful. You're doing great. And I don't want you to think anything but that. To be able to say, I need a prayer, is allowing others to fulfill their divine potential to love you and to pray with you. And the gift goes two ways or more. So you are doing what I'm talking about. I'm seeing the demonstration of it. Please keep it up. And if you would like to be, a part of that, call the office and get your name on our prayer team. If you are going through something that is troubling you, send an email to Kit or me, and we'll give you the addresses at the end of the service. We are happy to pray with you, and we'll pull as many people or as few as you desire, because that's how we're fulfilling our destiny. That's what we're doing. And we're doing it without being in the same room with each other. Now, to me, that looks like a miracle. But what it really is seeing another level of manifestation. God bless you for that. And so as we move into our time of meditation with each other, I'd like you to let your heart be full. Know that you are a person of faith. You are a person of love because you cannot be anything but that. And notice I say you cannot be anything but that. I didn't say you cannot do anything but that. You cannot be, and from our being springs forth the doing. That's the order. And so center yourself in that place of calm and quiet. A man came to Jesus once and he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That might be your prayer today. I have a glimmer of faith. I have a glimmer of love. Awaken more of that in me. Not give me more. It's already there. Awaken that. Let it come forth, God. Show me how. And then shift your prayer to say, it is coming forth now. It is being revealed to me. Oh God, I'm ready to be delighted. I'm ready to let miracles be an everyday occurrence for me because I live in faith, I live in love. And from these, I draw hope. You might put your hand on your heart and just feel your breath into it. If you got your shoulders up around your ears, let them relax. Let your tummy expand with the breath of God. And notice how other things begin to slip away. Beloved, as we join in this meditation with each other, know that in different places, in different spaces, in different time, others are joining with you. And together we build each other up. We affirm the truth of each other. And in so doing, we affirm the truth in ourselves. So lay your eyes and your ears, all your senses, upon that which affirms the truth of the divine presence everywhere. And know that you can see it, can hear it, can taste and feel it because you were created to do so. Even the fog that lies upon us today, rather than saying, oh, it's a gloomy day out there, what if we said, this fog is a blanket that wraps me up in the natural phenomenon of weather. And it is of God. And even this fog today brings a quiet upon the land. It dampens the sounds. So that for a moment, what is around us remains a little bit of a mystery. And that too is divine. Beloved, I open my eyes to you now so that we have an opportunity to reflect back and forth to each other. The good that lives in us. Not only our faith in God, but our faith in each other. I look at my friends here in this room. And I see the divine. Behind the masks, behind the equipment, behind the computer and the keyboards, behind the microphone and the guitar. There is in this room holiness. So know that holiness where you are. Know that holiness when you go to the grocery store or the pharmacy. Know that holiness if you are at home and will not be going out. Know that holiness for those that are close to you and those that are far from you. We are one. We are. And I'm giving you the sign of love. If there was a sign of faith, I'd give you that one too. I love you. I behold the Christ in you. I behold faith and love in you as you move into your full potential, your divine journey, your divine destiny. And so we go, and so it is. Amen.